Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Don't you worry there, my honey. We might not have any money, but we've got our love to pay the bills. Maybe I think you're cute and funny. Maybe I wanna do what bunnies do with you, if you know what I mean.
You've heard her on TV and all over, her voice, her piano, her ukulele, her sad, wise lyrics. Ingrid Michaelson, the young indie pop songstress backing the scenes that touch millions of hearts, from Grey's Anatomy to Scrubs to Bones to One Tree Hill, and on tour all over the world. She joins us today talking about her style, her music, and the new venue for new music TV shows. This hour on Point, Ingrid Michaelson is with us. You can join the conversation. Does she sing to you, for you? What's the pull of Ingrid Michaelson's music? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Later in the hour, we'll hear from a big-time music supervisor on what goes into choosing the music that goes behind TV shows and movies and can make stars of artists like Michaelson. But now, joining me from New York City is indie pop singer-songwriter sensation Ingrid Michaelson, daughter of Staten Island, the sound, some say, of a generation. She's released 4 studio albums, including Boys and Girls, Be OK, and Everybody. Next week, she'll be performing at the upcoming Life is Good Festival here in our backyard. Ingrid Michaelson, great to have you with us. Welcome to On Point.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
That is a sound that has a lot of people tapping toes and has for a long time now. But the way but the way you got discovered, it's so interesting how things have changed. It used to be, you know, the kind of cliche was a band or a singer in a dusty bar or on a street corner, and along comes a record producer. But in your case, it's a licensing agent who comes along and puts you out into the world. How did it work, Ingrid?
Yeah, I did perform at many a dusty bar, yeah, okay. But there were no
nary
a record producer
okay.
around.
Right.
It was like my mother and father, that was about it. Yeah, I made a record, and I put some of the songs up on MySpace, and maybe, I don't know how long, maybe half a year went by, and then a licensing company contacted me on my MySpace page and said, you know, we love your songs. We love your voice. We think it would be great in TV and film and commercials. And I was obsessed with getting my song in one of my songs in Grey's Anatomy because my mother had watched the show and said to me one day, "There's this new show. It's called Grey's Anatomy, and I think your songs would be so perfect in it." And so it was sort
always
of this
listen
mission.
To mom, right?
Yeah. And I remember the email from the licensing company. She said, you know, we've got great connections with the supervisors over at this place, and Grey's Anatomy. And as soon as I saw Grey's Anatomy, I wrote her back. I said, yes, yes, let's work together. And sure enough, within 3 months, they got me my first placement on Grey's. And that was the beginning of everything for me.
And here's maybe the new way into the spotlight. I mean, there you are. You kind of get your own album up on MySpace. The licensing agent gets you on Grey's. Now your music has been in so many shows. We were seeing Scrubs and Bones and One Tree Hill and on, a huge list that you're behind. It's an interesting way to come into the limelight. Also kind of interesting how in this media era, Ingrid, it almost goes back to a very old era where you're in the middle of a drama and a balladeer steps on the stage, in this case you in Grey's Anatomy or whatever, to right. kind of set the tone for the theatricals going on.
Yeah, I find that the best placements, and this isn't speaking of my own music, but anything, to me is when the dialogue is very sparse and the song tells the story of of what's going on. Those to me are the most memorable and poignant placements.
And you've been right there in some of the biggest moments in Grey's Anatomy, finales, and all the rest. Are you thinking about that, or were you when you write the songs? Are they ever tailor-made for a scene on television?
No, I've never done that. My first album, I made with my friends. I mean, I wrote all the songs myself, and then we got into a studio that my friend was the engineer tech at this one jingle house, and they let him use the studio on weekends and late nights because it was they didn't work too late. So we just kind of picked up scraps of time where we could, and I didn't know anything. I was just making music that I wanted to make, and I didn't know that it was, you know, the kind of music that would do well in that world of licensing, and so I didn't try to do anything. It just kind of fell into it.
The great Nancy Franklin wrote in the New Yorker last year about one of your songs, Keep Breathing, that's been in any number or behind any number of dramas. It was in The Big C. She wrote, you could put that song at the end of an episode of I Love Lucy, and it would it would make you weep. Let's listen to a little bit of Ingrid Michaelson. This is one of her big hits, Be Okay, another one of her songs to make it all over the place on TV, from the ABC series Ugly Betty to a Mott's apple juice commercial. Be Okay, Ingrid Michaelson's kind of upbeat, charming vocals, underscored with some more sad, even tragic lyrics. Okay, she just wants to feel something. Just please let her feel anything. And it gets picked up as a kind of a cute jingle behind an apple juice commercial. Are they listening to the lyrics, Ingrid?
I think that's a good question. I think people want to hear what they want to hear from music. So because the words be okay are in this, and it's got an upbeat feel, that it convinces people that it's a happy song. When in fact, you're right, it's quite sad and somber. If you just looked at the lyrics by themselves, you might not put it behind an applesauce commercial.
I don't want to be a zombie. I want to feel something. I want to love something. Please, just be okay.
I know. I'm beyond repair. I'm beyond repair is my favorite line. And then everyone's like, this is the best, happiest song ever. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Straight beyond repair. It's so great to have you with us. Ingrid Michaelson is in the studio in New York, and I think you've got your ukulele with you. Would you sing something live for us, Ingrid?
I will. Although now that I hear myself on recordings where it's all polished, I'm a little nervous, but here we go.
We like it rough.
Okay. That's a nice segue. This is actually the song that made it into a commercial and sort of launched my career. It's under 2.5 minutes long. There's no proper big chorus. There's no bridge, and it you wouldn't think it's an unlikely hero. I think this little song. It's called The Way I Am, and I'm playing it on the ukulele, which is a little different than how I usually do it.
You go.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. If you need a light, then I'd find a match. 'Cause I love the way you say good morning, and you take me the way I am. If you are chilly, here, take my sweater. If your head is aching, then I'll make it
better, 'cause I love the way you call me baby, and you take me the way I am. I'll buy you Rogaine when you start losing all your hair and so on patches to all your tears, 'cause I love you more than I could ever promise, and you take me the way I am. You take me the way I am. You take me the way I am.
Ah, that's great. I'm glad you don't have the whole polished band with you. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. We're coming right up against a break here, Ingrid. It's so great to have you there in New York with us today. And thanks for that, live on the ukulele. Please stand by there. Listeners, you can join the conversation today, 800-423-8255. Indie pop sensation Ingrid Michaelson is with us. There she was with The Way I Am. Old Navy put it right in their commercial. She's all over. 800-423-TALK. We'll go out with Maybe. Ingrid, please stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with indie pop singer, songwriter, sensation, Ingrid Michaelson. She wrote You and I, The Way I Am, Be Okay. Behind us here, Breakable, the music behind a whole lot of big moments on TV and movies, Grey's Anatomy, Scrubs, One Tree Hill, lots more. Been touring all over the world, joins us today from New York. She's got her ukulele with us, good enough to play us something really wonderful just now. You can join the conversation this hour. Is she your fave on the radio, in the earbuds, on TV? What's the appeal of Ingrid Michaelson's music? Does it speak for you, to you? Why do you think it's been so popular with big TV shows? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. We're going to hear in just a few minutes from a major influencer out in California, one of those powers who decides what goes behind the shows, and these days makes stars like Ingrid Michaelson. But Ingrid, if we may, let's bring in a few callers first. They're calling up for you. Eric in Columbia, South Carolina. You're on the air with Ingrid Michaelson.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Ingrid, love your music. You're great. My wife and I love you. We saw you in Greenville a few years back at the Handlebar.
And, oh, yeah.
We just think you're great. And I love the fact that you were kind of on the cusp of, really the licensing movement. And we've been able to find so many great female singers and bands like Regina Spektor, Imogen Heap, Phoenix, all from what I think you kind of paved the way on. And that's, being in licensing and movies and TV shows and commercials. And I feel like if you want to find the new great up-and-coming artists, I think that all you have to do is, turn on the TV and you hear really great musicians. And I feel like you were kind of right at the start of that. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And music is wonderful. and keep it up is great.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks so much. One more. Betsy in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Betsy, you're on the air with Ingrid.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Ingrid. I'm in my mid-50s, but I'm a big fan, Ingrid. I first heard you on the web on a Borders series where you play just with a guitar and yourself. And I wanted to say, like Tom said, when you just play pared down, you are the best. I think the simpler, the better. And my kids like you, and I like you, and you kind of span all generations. And
oh, that's great. My mom says I span generations, so thank you. That's true.
Your mom says you'll stand astride the universe, no doubt.
Yeah, she thinks I can do anything, so she's not really a good judge.
Yeah, but that's interesting. We'll talk about it. Simple, and Betsy likes the simplicity of the music. Betsy, thanks for that. And one more, Barry, Vermont. John, you're on with Ingrid Michaelson.
Ingrid, hi. Hi. God almighty. I played with the early Doobies and Badfinger, and when I heard that song that you just sang, you were an innocent Ricky Lee Jones. I'd have put you right in my heart. I actually would have signed you up on the spot. You've got it, babe.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
Love
thank
it. It's new. It's just... What can I say? You've got it.
John, let me ask you. You're that generation then, maybe the Doobie Brothers and all the rest, but you remember when to be signed, to have your music signed for a commercial was kind of taboo, right?
God.
That's something you didn't do. Now, here's Ingrid. We're in an era where people will find her on the web, put it behind an Old Navy commercial, and she becomes a star. What do you think about that shift, John?
Well, yes, I am from that era, and it was a real grind. I mean... I know what happened to the Fogerty Brothers and how they got ripped off, and Buddy Holly. I'm not that old, but I mean, timing is everything, you know.
When I first got the commercial for the Old Navy, I had a lot of negative backlash as well.
From your generation or from older?
I think listeners? No, for mine. I think that I was one of the first people that. Luckily, or not so luckily, I was at the turning point from when artists, I'm sure there are still artists that wouldn't license their music out, but most of us do because the way that the world of music is going, there's not much of a way to make a living these days. especially not from just records alone. So I think a lot of people are turning to placements to make a living and to continue doing what they love to do. So I was at the beginning of that because I got a lot of you're selling out and negative things. And I thought to myself, oh, no, really? But then one by one, I saw everybody around me start to do the same thing. So I guess it's not so bad anymore.
do you think it's a bad thing, or is it just the way it is? Maybe people were too uptight in the past. I mean, it's a way to get out to listeners.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you're selling sweaters. Does that matter?
Well, I think it depends on what you're working with. If it's, you know, something that you don't want to be behind, if it's something negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I mean, from my personal point of view, just because somebody uses my music doesn't mean that, you know, I'm out there hawking sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
I just use my song as a part of their, you know, landscape. So, I mean, I have declined certain requests because I didn't feel like I wanted, you know, associations. But I think for the most part, I keep quite a distance from those things.
We've got one of the people who stands between you in that world, or maybe brings it to you, or brings you into it with us. Ingrid Michaelson is with us from New York, and it's just great to have you with us, Ingrid. And you've been gracious enough to let us bring on as well one of the biggest, what they call, music supervisors, I guess, in the country, joining us right now from Pasadena, California, Alexandra Potsavas. Hi, Alexandra. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Owner of Chop Shop Music Supervision. She's worked on all kinds of TV shows, including lots of big ones, movies as well, but Grey's Anatomy, Mad Men, The O.C., The Twilight Series. And Alexandra, I think you know Ingrid quite well. Ingrid, Alexandra, Alexandra, Ingrid, here we are.
Hi,
Ingrid. I've been lucky enough to license Ingrid's music quite a few times over the past few years. So we do know each other.
And we've all heard it, and no few tears shed over those moments in TV dramas and movies where it really pulls it all together. Alexandra, would you be good enough just to tell us for a second, what do you do? What's a music supervisor? What exactly is your role?
The grand question. What is a music supervisor? A music supervisor is hired by the creatives of a project, the producers on a TV show, the director perhaps on a movie, to really find the musical voice for the project. So that can have sort of far-reaching implications from theme songs to actual song placement within each episode, as well as any on camera. So if a band plays on camera, or even something as simple as a character humming something on camera, those all fall within the music supervisor's jurisdiction.
So when do you get involved? Are they writing a script and then they say, they leave a little thing in parentheses, music here, ask Alexandra, or do you come in and suggest, you know, it'd be nice to have a touch of Ingrid Michaelson right here?
Well, it's always nice to have a touch of Ingrid Michaelson. But I get involved, often at the pilot stage. So I actually worked on the Grays pilot. I got the Twilight script very early on before they shot. So more and more, this musical conversation is important. Directors and producers like to find, new artists and introduce new artists. So I do get involved very early.
I'm going to play a little bit in just a moment here from a big moment in Grey's Anatomy where Keep Breathing, Ingrid Michaelson's song, was played in the season 3 finale. That's a ways back now. But Ingrid, before we get to, we'll hear about a little bit of how it fit into the show. I wonder how it sounds to you, Ingrid, when your music shows up in a show. Are you judging how well or otherwise they've used it, how it supports or works against the drama? Do you find yourself as a critic of the integration, Ingrid?
I don't think I'm really a critic. I think it's sort of this alien, out-of-body experience, especially the first few times it happened. And with Keep Breathing, that was definitely, I had a big party. Everybody was over in my apartment because it was like the season finale. And I didn't know that the show was an hour and 15 minutes. I thought it was an hour. So then the last 5 minutes came and the song didn't happen. And I was like, oh my gosh. I feel like I've lost years of my life of anxiety. And then somebody went online like, no, we have 15 more minutes. And it's more of a, I'm not really judging it. I think I'm very lucky and I don't feel like the gratitude, doesn't get overpowered by anything. And just it's like a weird out factor. It's just like, that's not me. That can't be me. But it is me. So
let's listen to how this one worked. And Alexandra, you want your professional kind of ear on this as well. But here's Ingrid Michaelson's Keep Breathing. It premiered as the last song on Grey's Anatomy, season 3 finale. 21 million watched and listened in sadness to see Preston Burke, played by Isaiah Washington, ending it all and calling off his wedding with Sandra Oh's character, Christina Young, Ellen Pompeo, as Meredith Grey, making the announcement here to the wedding party. We'll hear something from the show and then right on into Ingrid's song.
I am wearing the dress. I'm ready. And maybe I didn't want to before, but I want to now. I really think I want this.
I really wish that you didn't think. I wish that you knew.
It's over. You can all go home. It's over. So over. All that I know is I'm breathing
now. And 21 million Grey's Anatomy fans gently weeped Ingrid Michaelson's music. Alexandra, describe to us how this came together. Ingrid Michaelson was not Ingrid Michaelson in those days. How did you find the music? How did you decide it was right for this moment? Who did you persuade? How's it work?
Well, Ingrid's music has such intelligence and strength and vulnerability, and the quality of her voice and her lyrics were so perfect for Grace, which is why we've used it so many times over the years. A gal that was working for me had seen Ingrid, and she brought it into the office, and we just loved it, and sent it down to creator Shonda Rhimes. Shonda's the creator of Grey's Anatomy, of course, mm-hmm. And she just really responded to Ingrid, and you know, it was funny you were asked to critique this moment, and of course, like, I worked on this moment, so
yeah, okay.
I can't really critique it, but I can't imagine a better song for that pivotal, you know, story point, that many storylines are coming together. Of course, season finales are by nature extra dramatic and, you know, include cliffhangers and mm-hmm. bring viewers back for the next season. And, you know, we've had a great, good history of important songs and cliffhangers on the show, and this is one of the best ones.
You know, in the old days on television, I mean, they would just sort of, they'd have their, I don't know, house orchestra, a couple, few violinists, something, just bring up the violins. Now it's real singers with real careers who are in public or who you put into public. What do you think of this new kind of mix? Do audiences now expect that they're going to hear new, interesting music to enhance the drama as they watch and listen, Alexandra?
Well, you know, I've been music supervising for about 15 years. The first television show I did was Roswell. Dido was the theme song. We included bands like Coldplay and Radiohead. I'm not sure it's exactly new. Mm-hmm. I think what it is, I think you spoke to it earlier. I was listening in.
Mm-hmm.
The musical landscape is changing. The way artists can make money is changing. And the reluctance of that selling out thing, or I'm not so indie-tastic, or whatever that was, has fallen away because it is a way to reach an audience. Mm-hmm. At the same time, producers are extremely interested in having voices that are tied to their shows, that are, you know, that are representative of the shows and are interested in these singular voices and new bands that maybe an audience hasn't heard before in another place. And so I think it's both things. I think it's the changing sort of sands of the music business, where traditional record sales do not mean what they used to mean, and also like a very enthusiastic interest on the part of the producer.
Here from the season 5 finale of Grey's Anatomy, Ingrid Michaelson again with her All Love.
When I've had the grayest day, you add more gray. It's just your way. It's true that it's all love, all love. Oh, oh, oh. It's all love, all love. Oh, oh, oh. It's all love, all love. Oh, oh. It's all love, my stupid love.
Ingrid Michaelson's All Love. Alexandra, we've just got you for a half a minute here. She's talking about evolving her sound on out. You're going to keep her in a box because she's worked so well on Grey's Anatomy and beyond? Or are you happy to see her evolve, grow, change?
Oh, no. Like, you know, any place that I could, you know, license Ingrid's music that she would allow us to do that, I'd be excited to do that.
Well, Alexandra Patsavas, owner of Chop Shop, one of the biggest music supervisors in the country, worked on Grey's Anatomy, Mad Men, The O.C., The Twilight Series. Alexandra, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Ingrid, is she a slave driver?
No, she's a fairy godmother, a miracle worker.
What did it do to your life when she sort of popped in and started dropping your music everywhere?
That was the beginning of it all. So thanks, Alex.
That's great. Alexandra Patsavas there. We're going to hear more live music from Ingrid Michaelson and take your calls when we return. It's just it's great to have you with us, Ingrid, to play, to listen. And we've got a lot more fans on the line for you. Ingrid Michaelson, indie pop singer, songwriter, joining us today from New York City. You've heard her work behind many shows and movies and on tour all over the world since things have taken off. Behind us right here, Everybody, one of her most famous songs, played all over radio, TV, silver screen. Ingrid, stand by in New York. Listeners, you can join us. What's up with this merger of popular music and TV? What does it do for each? The show, the music, the singer. What's your word, your question for Ingrid Michaelson? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK, sort of. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with indie pop singer, songwriter Ingrid Michaelson. Her song Creep, her cover of the Radiohead song behind us right there. That sweet voice, those eerie lyrics. She makes it a song all her own. She'll be at the Life is Good Festival outside Boston this weekend. She joins us today from New York City. She's got her ukulele in hand. I hope she'll sing some more for us. And you can join us. What's your word, your question for Ingrid Michaelson? Has she been the soundtrack to your life? Tell us how. Tell us when. What sets her apart? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Lots of callers for you, Ingrid. Joey in Virginia Beach. Virginia, Joey, you're on the air with Ingrid Michaelson. Hey, Joey, you there? Well, let's go to... Hello, Joey, you're on, my friend.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Ingrid's right here.
I am very impressed with her music, the way that it is a great backdrop for all this stuff, for these shows, like the real dramatic and even the funny ones, and commercials. It's a really, my kids turned me on to indie music. I'm 46 years old, and indie music came to me, I guess, about 10 years ago or maybe less. My kids turned me on to it. And I look at it as eclectic music, and it's just such a great blend of so many different styles of music from the past century. And I appreciate artists like this young lady that are going for it. And doing so well.
Joey, I appreciate your call. Ingrid, what about being in the backdrop there? I mean, you know, I feel bad sometimes. Like we're just talking, and behind us, you're singing your heart out, and it's so beautiful. You know, here today it's us. Another day it may be a TV show. Do you ever feel like, hey, just shut up and listen to my music?
Well, I think I would feel that way if I was having a show and people are talking and having conversations. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast. It's not like it's going to be your song up there and nothing else. Like I said before, the best placements are the ones where it's mostly they use the song to further the scene. But it is what it is. And the way I look at it is for every, you know, 10 people who don't really hear my song and it's just in the background, there's one person that will listen to it and remember the lyrics and find out what the song is and buy the song and come to a show. So I think it's about building up. For me, it's always been very grassroots, kind of one fan at a time. I'm very vocal online and in terms of just keeping...
tweeting and all the rest.
Yeah, and just keeping people connected, not in a weird, creepy, stepping over boundaries way, but I know why I'm here. It's because of people liking my music, so I feel like they're my biggest, they're my most important thing. So I feel like having a song in a commercial, you'll definitely grab up a few more people to get on the train. That's how I think of it anyway.
For the ones who really tune in, Sherry in Pittsburgh, you're on the air with Ingrid Michaelson. Sherry, hi.
Hi, Tom. I have to tell you, I am so grateful that you have Ingrid on. I'm in my 50s. I have listened to indie music for decades, and I'm a visual artist. So one of the main reasons that I find that I can connect is because of who she is, how the woman in San Francisco characterized her intelligent yet vulnerable style. And I saw it because, Ingrid, I saw you at Three Rivers Art Festival when you were here a couple summers ago.
Yeah.
And not only did you have everyone wanting more, but remember there was a little girl, I think she had a pink ribbon, and one of your songs was relating directly to her, and she walked away, and when she came back, you specifically noticed, and everyone went, oh, and you just relate so directly, so I thank you for that very much.
Well, thank you for noticing, because I do like to make an effort in that area, so thank you.
People notice. It sounds like you enjoy it. Sherry, thanks for calling from Pittsburgh. You do a lot of covers as well as a lot of your own, and I wanted to ask you about that and how, you know, people were talking about you making a song your own, how you do that. You stepped right into Elvis Presley land, and I want to just listen to Elvis for a minute and then listen to your version and see if you can share with us a little bit about what's going on when Ingrid Michaelson makes a song her own. Here is none other than Elvis.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Okay. There's the king, and he's telling you, can't help falling in love with you. Here, Ingrid Michaelson with her version of Can't Help Falling in Love, a.k.a. Fools Rush In.
Child, I stay. Would it be a sin? Oh, yeah, I can't.
Ingrid Michaelson covering Elvis Presley. Ingrid, talk about this for a minute with us. It's not just going from a male singer to a female singer. You can also hear it kind of going from one age or time to another there. I mean, it's your interpretation, but it really feels of now. Elvis really feels of then. What's going on?
I love this song so much. It's just such a good song that when I find a song that I really love, and I want to perform it, I almost trick my brain into thinking that I wrote it. I can infuse my own brain into what I'm doing. And so this song, I've been doing this song before anything. I've been singing it for, I don't even know how many years now, probably close to 8 years. And it's just so beautiful, and it never goes out of style, I think. So I think I'm just going to continue to sing it forever.
I'm sure you will. Do you hear Elvis in the back of your mind as you sing it? Do you feel yourself pulling the song away from him to make it yours? I mean, yours is more plaintive. It doesn't have quite the same, like, determination. It seems more like, I hope I can do this.
Yeah, I think my version is more, it's sad because it's the idea of falling in love with the story that I have made up for myself anyway, is falling in love with someone who is not the right person to fall in love with. And I think Elvis's seems more celebratory. So yeah, I guess I'm good at taking happy things and making them sad.
I can't help it, but maybe I should. It's very beautiful. We've got Amanda calling. Amanda Palmer calling from Boston. Is this Amanda Palmer of the Dresden Dolls?
This is the Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls.
Hi, you're on with Ingrid Michaelson. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Ingrid. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You sound amazing. I've actually never heard your music before before tuning into this program, but I don't have a TV. And I've never listened. So it's thanks to old-fashioned radio that I've discovered your music, which is awesome.
Great. Amanda, meet Ingrid. What's your question, Amanda?
Well, my question is actually, it's kind of a geeky musical question, but I've talked to, you know, I'm a touring artist, too, and it's so great to hear you talking, Ingrid, because you sound so smart and cool, and like you've definitely got your head screwed on straight. And my question is, having talked to a lot of artists, you know, the kind of bigger ones that you associate with the indie bands who've broken because of Grey's Anatomy or this TV show or that TV show, they sometimes find that it can alter their fan bases, but it sounded like you sort of started with placements and stuff. And have you ever wondered, you know, how the medium actually affects your live shows and the people coming and how they relate to you standing there watching you on stage?
Oh, it's a great question. Yeah. Amanda Palmer, thank you.
That's intense. Okay. I got to clear my throat for that one.
Yeah.
I had a following of maybe I would play in New York and maybe 50 people would come to see my show. And a lot of them were people that I knew. And then I got one of my songs placed in Grey's Anatomy, and the next show I had in New York, there was a line out the door of the venue, and I remember walking up and thinking, these people can't be here to see me. And I walked up to these two girls online. I said, are you here? Who are you here to see? And they said, Ingrid Michaelson. They didn't know what I looked like because they just heard my music. And I'm thinking, and I said, that's me. And they were like, oh, no, no way. And it was definitely a younger female audience, which I think I've retained. But the way I think of it is, if I can get people to come to a show and they can bring a friend or whoever, I try to deliver a live show that will make people want to come back, not because they heard my song on an apple juice commercial or in the back of some drama, but because the music is good and the live show is something that that you just can't stay away from. So I find that, you know, however I get somebody in the door, if I can woo them and connect with them and hopefully have them pass on those feelings to somebody else, then I can keep growing little by little. And I found that after The Way I Am was on the Old Navy commercial, my tour after that, all of the rooms grew in size and there were more people. And then after that wave died down, my next tour was actually smaller. And I thought to myself, I guess those people were fair weather fans, you know, they only liked the one song. And I felt like I had to kind of climb back up again and up again. So it's been interesting to see the fluctuations, but I think I'm on an upward swing, although I haven't toured since this whole year, so who knows, nobody could come out to see me. I don't know.
I bet you'll find out. And Amanda Palmer with the great Dresden Dolls, we're really happy to have your call. We've just got time for one more song from you, Ingrid, and I hope you'll do it for us. Parachute, last song to be released, co-written with Nashville songwriter Marshall Altman, sold to British star Cheryl Cole. You come out with your own version. Can you play it for us?
I can play my ukulele version.
Good.
Again,
we've just got time.
I know, I feel like I have all these excuses, but I don't usually play all these on the uke, so this is kind of fun for me. Okay, this is called Parachute. I don't tell anyone about the way you hold my hand. I don't tell anyone about the things that we have planned. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They wanna see me fall, they wanna see you fall down. Won't tell anybody that you turn the world around. I won't tell anyone that your voice is my favorite sound. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They wanna see us fall, they wanna see us fall down. I need a parachute, baby, if I've got you, baby, if I've got you. I don't need a parachute, you're gonna catch me, you're gonna catch if I fall down, down, down. Don't believe the things you tell yourself so late at night. You are your own worst enemy, you'll never win the fight. Just hold on to me and I'll hold on to you. It's you and me up against the world, it's you and me. I don't believe anything, don't trust anyone anymore. But I believe you when you say we're never gonna fall. Hand behind my neck, arm around my waist. Never let me hit the ground, you'll never let me crash down. I don't need a parachute, baby, if I've got you, baby, if I've got you. I don't need a
You, baby, if I've got you, I don't need a parachute. You're gonna catch me, you're gonna catch if I fall. I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I fall into you, I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I won't fall out of, I won't fall out of love, I fall into you, I don't need a parachute, baby, if I've got you, baby, if I've got you, I don't need a parachute. You're gonna catch me, you're gonna catch if I fall down, down, down. I don't need a parachute, baby, if I've got you, baby, if I've got you, I don't need a parachute. You're gonna catch me, you're gonna catch if I fall down.
Ah, Ingrid Michaelson, Parachute. On Ukulele, not the full album version right there, but it sounds terrific even so. A little less sweet, a little more driven. Sounds like you're trying to persuade yourself you won't fall out of love there. You've got a new album coming, new direction coming too. What should we expect, Ingrid?
Well, when I talk about my new record, which is coming out early next year, mm-hmm. the one quote that I like to give is my father's quote when I played him the demos. He said, "Where are all the peppy songs?" So,
okay.
I'm moving out of the peppiness and into something a little bit maybe more, I don't know, big ladylike.
All right. All right. Good luck to you as you go. We'll hold on to our hearts. We wish you good luck with it. And we thank you so much for bringing your ukulele and your voice and your fine self and singing for us today. Ingrid Michaelson, thank you very much for being with us. Ingrid Michaelson there in New York City. She'll be at the Life is Good Festival outside Boston this weekend and touring all over. We'll go out with her big song, Everybody, from 2009. So great to have her. Listeners, great to have you as well. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Love, love, love.